Tiger fans, welcome to another edition of Talking Tigers. This is your host, Wesley Burris, along with Taylor Griggs, a Winter Dine Sports production. Going to bring you a little different type of episode today, slightly. I don't think we're going to talk about the Georgia Southern game quite that much because I think everybody kind of, you kind of know what happened the other day. Clemson didn't give their best effort and still won the football game 38-7. So that tells you a little bit about the level of competition. Needless to say, the Tigers still looked ferocious defensively, hit some very big plays on the offensive side of the ball. We'll get into that in just a second. And we got an old familiar foe coming up this week. Going to Atlanta are the Tigers to take on the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech. And my, oh my, what a season they're having so far. Just very strange to me. Not so much. I don't really think the loss last week really was that odd, because Pittsburgh, it tends to be a team that plays solid defense and runs the ball and chews up clock. The South Florida game was very, very strange, and we'll get into that later in the episode. But just once we get into the numbers there, if you haven't looked into them yourselves, my God, the story that it tells is very strange. I think Georgia Tech should have won that football game, and they just had a disastrous fourth quarter. I mean, I'm babbling here and stumbling over with my words, but it is what it is. Now, what happened this past Saturday in Death Valley, and we watched this game, Taylor, at a place called, was it Little D's Dugout?
Not Little.
Oh, Lil D's. Lil D's.
Dugout. American Grill.
Okay, check this place out. We went for the all-you-can-eat wing buffet, which they had Saturday during the storm, and they opened at 11 o'clock that day. They normally do their wing buffet on Friday, I think you told me one time. It's not an all-the-time thing. They have a country cooking buffet the majority of the time. Now, this is a Clemson Tiger establishment, so that's why I wanted to mention this on this episode. All the wait staff was wearing their orange Iptay shirts and Beat Carolina shirts and whatnot, and they had a big, long Clemson bench in the front, and the Tigers were on like three televisions in there, but they had – it was a pretty cool place. They had a couple other games on. The Vols, horrible game against UTEP was on, and they were playing Florida State for a while until – Syracuse went up like 19-0. I think they turned that game off. But I don't know why. I would think they would want to see that happen. But for whatever reason, they ended up putting Clemson on another couple televisions. What I saw early in that game, and everybody else did, Clemson played like trash in the first quarter. They fumbled the ball twice. I think it was the two fumbles and two giveaways in the first quarter, nonetheless. And didn't score till what? 8 minutes, I think, left in the half. Is that right? Isn't that what we saw?
Yeah.
7-0, but then added two quick scores to end the first half to go up 21-0. Hugel missed two field goals, so the Tigers could have put more points on the board, had opportunities to do so. 21-0 halftime lead.
Look how fat this kicker is.
One of the touchdowns there in the first half was a laser to Justin Ross, true freshman, who made a hell of a play after the catch and got in the end zone. He's electric. And along with T. Higgins, Hunter Renfrow, and Amari Rodgers, this is a dangerous receiving core. There's no doubt about that. Now, I know most Tiger fans that I've talked to have some issues with the offensive line, and they think that they're not really getting the push that they want to see them get. ETN had like a – I don't know the actual stats. Taylor will give them to you in a second. It was like 160-something rushing yards.
62.
And what, two TDs? Is that right? I mean, he looked like – there's one play, and this was in – I want to say this was in the first quarter. I could be wrong. It's a drive that ended up stalling. But one thing that sticks out to me – I mean, I haven't watched the game since then. We watched the first half there at that restaurant, and then we left, listened to a little bit of it, and then I ended up going back and watching the rest of it later on. But ETN spun like three times on this run. He was running backwards for like a couple yards. The kid's phenomenal. He doesn't go down. He yards after contact. He's got blazing speed. He's got good hands, great vision. This is just a talented football player, man. He's one of the best running backs in the country, in my opinion. I think even without a great offensive line. He's putting up nice numbers. Now, this is Georgia Southern, and I take nothing away from the win because you did – Clemson did their job. They won 38-7. I mean, it, for a while there, it was 24-0 after Hugel connected on field goal in the third quarter. They struggled a bit. Lawrence threw a pick. Bryant threw a pick. They had two fumbles. As I said, I think Georgia Southern had one giveaway, one turnover. I'm not positive on that. Taylor will give you the stats in a minute. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But or did they have none?
No, they had one.
Okay. So – and then they punched it in on like this trick play, a double pass, and Clemson almost stopped it, as Taylor said earlier when we were watching the highlights just to freshen up a little bit. And he falls down inside the 10, and they stick it in and make it a 24-7 ball game. And I'm sure a lot of fans that were there in Death Valley and watching at home were, you know, I wouldn't say nervous at that point. You're not nervous. You're still up 17, but you're not happy with that, I understand. When Clemson is a premium football team, there's no doubt about it. I do think that some people might be questioning them, and I would think they're wrong to do so. I feel like a nooner like that at home against an inferior opponent, it's hard to get hyped to play a team like this. And Clemson did nothing in this ball game besides shoot themselves in the foot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
To make it look the way it looked. I mean, it's not like they went out there and Georgia Southern was pushing them around or anything like that. That did not happen on Saturday. Obviously, anybody that watched it, listened to it, or whatever would know that. And I'm just babbling on and on about what is truly a meaningless football game, honestly, because the Tigers are healthy. No big injuries coming out of this one. So you're good to go there. You still got the best defensive line in college football in my mind. If it's not the best, it's definitely one of the top two or three. And, you know, I saw one of the other best defensive lines just collapse in the second half the other day on the Plains. Auburn losing to LSU again. So, hey, Clemson fans, you're undefeated. I do think right now this will rub salt into you guys' wounds just like it does mine. I think we were talking earlier that LSU probably has the best resume in the country, but I don't think they're on the level of Clemson. I don't think they're on the level of Georgia. I don't think they're on the level of Alabama. We will see them play the Bulldogs this season. Now, that's for another time to discuss that, because this is the Tigers podcast, not the LSU Tigers or Auburn. It's the Clemson podcast. So I think Clemson's right where they're supposed to be. The spread to this game, the line went down. It went down to 32. You won by 31. So, I mean, you almost covered the spread. People were taking Georgia Southern. And that's not – see, a field goal covers. And Hugel missed, I think, two. One of them was pretty damn long. I can't remember the one that he hooked. I can't remember how long it was, but – you know, that one was pretty long, but I think both of them were makeable, and I do think he's a solid kicker. And I heard some boos in the crowd and whatnot, but that's going to happen when you're as good as you guys are in college football. You're the hunted right now, and I don't see anybody on this schedule, including the team that you play this week, that is capable of beating the Tigers in the regular season. I don't think there's anybody in the other division that can beat the Tigers when they go and play for the ACC title. So, I said it at the beginning of the year. I'll reiterate it here. The Tigers are a playoff team in my mind. I sent one of my buddies a text the other day and said, I think it's Bama. I think it's maybe Washington.
The four?
Yeah. Ohio State and Clemson. That's who I think it is. I think Washington could sneak in because Washington is very good. They're a very good football team. They lost to Auburn, but that was essentially a home game for Auburn. I think Clemson's path to the playoff is the easiest. That's you play who you play. I'm not – hell, I wish that my boys could play an easier schedule than they play, but you play who you play, man. And the bottom line is you got to go out there and win. And I don't think that anything that happens inside of the ACC – as long as we'll have an effect on Clemson, as long as Clemson does what they're supposed to do. Do you agree with that? What's your thoughts on where they are right now? I mean, was that game a hiccup to you? Because I don't see
it. No, not really. It was just
– was it what you expected?
Yeah.
I can't remember what we called the final to be the other day. I think I said that I didn't think Georgia Southern would score. Maybe they would get a garbage touchdown. They kind of did because Clemson turned it over, gave them a short field, and they scored a touchdown. And that's how you give up points to a team that's inferior to you. So I think that all that being said, I don't think Clemson is slipping. I don't think anybody needs to worry. I think the two quarter – well, we did have a scare, or they had a scare. I shouldn't say we. My God. Blasphemy. Kelly Bryant going down was probably a scary moment for Tiger fans, but I feel like there's a lot of people that I talk to that maybe I think are slightly ignorant about the situation, that they don't want Bryant out there for whatever reason. Just turn it over to Lawrence. But I feel like with a guy like Bryant, he can run your entire offense, and he's a more potent weapon in the rushing game.
He just doesn't have the zip.
He throws it hard, but yeah, the throws don't look as pretty. I'll give you that. The throws don't look as pretty as Lawrence's, but you know what? I think both of these guys are capable of running the full gamut of what you can run. So I feel like you can keep doing exactly what they're doing. And I think this is what I choose to believe, is that the reason that they're sticking with this is that Bryant is pretty selfless. He's unselfish. And he's cool with all of this. I think he kind of has to be. He's not pouting about it. That's one thing as a Tiger fan that you guys should be happy about, that he's not pitching a fit, you know, like some prima donna quarterbacks would do. He's happy to be a part of this football team, and I think he's a natural leader, and he is the Tigers' quarterback. And there's no doubt about that. When I watch them play, he looks the most natural to me running every play. But Lawrence could come in and give you that spark, and he's getting such – experience right now because he played a lot against A&M. He played a lot in the first week and this week. So he's got a lot of football under his belt already. The kid's a true freshman. Everybody knows that. He's a stud. He's the future Tigers quarterback. And in the best case scenario you can think, he's going to be there three more years anyway. So if the talent continues to come to Death Valley the way it has in the last few years, going to be in capable hands. Might as well roll with Bryant as well right now, I think, because the two quarterback, it's not a controversy in Clemson. We've already gone over this. In my opinion, it's not. And I think a lot of other people feel the same way. So Clemson got it done. 38-7 winners. Go into some stats really quick, and we can move on to previewing next week's ball game and what we think is going to happen, because I actually want to do something a little different this week. Is I'm going to give you the stats. Full stats from Georgia Tech's last two opponents. Not going to give you the Alcorn State stats and just go through those as quickly as possible. So we'll just do the stats here this week. Go ahead.
Kelly Bryant started 7 for 10. No touchdowns, one interception, 68 yards. Trevor Lawrence went 12 for 19, 194 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Kelly Bryant had 6 rushes, 27 yards. Trevor Lawrence had 2 for 13 yards. ETN rushed 16 times for 162 yards and one touchdown.
That's big-time numbers. He looked ferocious.
Adam Choice rushed 7 times, 49 yards and a touchdown. Feaster, 10 carries for 32 yards and a touchdown. Justin Ross had 3 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown.
Big catch, too.
Hunter Renfro, 2 catches, 44 yards. And there's a few other guys down here that had a couple catches for like 20 yards. I mean, T. Higgins only had 2 catches for 11 yards.
Yeah.
Will Sweeney had 1 catch for 7 yards. Who was that?
I don't even know. Just get him out there. I mean, I really don't know who
Cleveland
that
Farrell had 7 tackles, 2 sacks. Mm. Austin Bryant had 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. Trey Lamar had 11 total tackles. I mean, this defense is just – Christian Wilkins had a half a tackle for loss. Wow.
Yeah, they just – it's – you know, I think you say it best. Herbie said it a couple weeks ago when they were playing A&M. It's a race to the quarterback. I mean, it really is. We've talked about it ad nauseum. You know, it's just – 4 guys who are going to play in the league, not just – and probably 4 guys that could get drafted in the first round. So,
for the Georgia Southern Eagles.
Is it even worth going over these? They had 143.
No, I'm not going to name these.
143
I'm gonna tell you this.
Offense.
Total passing, they went 3 for 9 for 60 yards.
Yes.
Total rushing, They had 43 carries for 83 yards.
43 carries for 83 yards.
Yep.
1.9 a carry.
Receiving. One guy.
One guy.
Caught it.
One guy caught the ball.
For 40 yards.
Oh, okay. And, I didn't know where you were going with that.
And the guy that threw, O.B. Fortune, that threw that trick play, I think, he had two receptions for 20 yards.
So they had seven first downs, and the Tigers had 27. And they were 4-for-14 on third down. Tigers were 7-for-12. And both teams, well, Tigers went 1-for-1 on fourth down. They went 0-for-1. 143 total yards to 595 for the Tigers. So people that just looked at this score and maybe looked at the lines, they would say, oh, well, Clemson didn't do it. Those numbers tell you everything you need to know. They had four turnovers. You had 600 yards of offense. This could have gotten way worse and should have been way worse. Georgia Southern stepped up, bowed up, played well early, did not have the horses to continue to play well. So, that being said, Tigers took care of business. On to the next one. This is not as big as it could be right now because I feel like Georgia Tech should probably have one more win. I did not watch any of the game against Pittsburgh last week. So.
And I will not watch
Georgia
Tech football game.
I like watching them from time to time. But, I watched a lot of the one against South Florida because I had buddies bet on it. And at one point, I'm pretty sure Georgia Tech was covering for a little while because I don't think they were laying but 3 points here. Excuse me. But we'll jump right into that because – there's some eye-popping stats in this ball game. So, what's that been? 2 weeks ago now, they played South Florida. And here's some stats really quick. First downs, Georgia Tech, 27. South Florida, 29. Third down conversions, Georgia Tech converted 3 of 12. South Florida converted 6 of 11. That's solid numbers there. But Georgia Tech was 2-for-3 on third down or fourth down, and South Florida was 1-of-2. So the third down numbers are interesting because 3-of-12, that must mean that South Florida at some point, like I said, I watched some of it, but don't remember a lot of it, that they got him behind the chain some. Listen to total yards here. Now, Georgia Tech lost this game 49-38. They outgained South Florida as a team 602-426. Almost 200 yards more of offense and lost the game by 11. Now, how do you do that? I'll tell you how.
Turnovers.
3 turnovers to 1. And South Florida, honestly, let's get into some other numbers. Let's go to the passing numbers here because Georgia Tech had a pretty productive day for their style of offense running that flex bone triple option that you Tigers know very well. Taquan Marshall, their starting quarterback, he was 9 of 18 for 183 yards, 10.2 an attempt, but he threw 2 picks. South Florida had 202 passing yards. They were 21 of 31, 6.5 yards a carry. They threw a pick. Rushing, Georgia Tech, 419 rushing yards on 57 attempts. For a whopping 7.4 a carry as a team. They lost this ball game by 11. When have you ever in your life ever heard of a team rushing for 419? Outrushing a team. All right, so South Florida had 224 on 44 carries. So they decided that over half of their game plan was going to be pounding the rock as well.
And nobody was going to stop it.
Right. But Georgia Tech had almost 200 more rushing yards. 200 rushing yards on a day for a team is a good day.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a day. Georgia Tech had 419 and lost by 11. Incredible. Now, I had the box score pulled up earlier, but I'm pretty sure Georgia Tech had a 17-14 lead at the end of the first quarter. So this was just lights out. Nobody stopping anybody. Pretty much from the get-go. And in the fourth quarter, Georgia Tech got outscored 21-7, and that's how they ended up losing the game. So they were covering and going into the fourth or right there in the second half. Had the game, it seemed like, controlling the game when you're rushing the ball 419 yards. Time of possession, they had the ball for 10 minutes more, 11 minutes more, my bad, than South Florida. All of these numbers would typically point to a win, right? But guess what the key number is? two more turnovers than the other team. What we were just talking about with Clemson versus Georgia Southern, you have four turnovers. That turns that 600 yards of offense and kind of negates a lot of it. Let's say it negates probably 150, 200 yards of it. So right here, that's same story here. Penalties, Georgia had 8 for 80 yards against South Florida. South Florida had 5 for 36. The team leaders in that game, Taquan Marshall, as I said a while ago, 9 of 18 passing, 183 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He was also the team's leading rusher, 13 carries, 113 yards for 8.7 a carry and a touchdown. Their leading receiver was one of their backs, Clinton Lynch, 3 receptions, 111 yards, and 1 touchdown. So sneaky out the backfield, probably runs that little streak play. Where they fake the handoff and throw it down the middle. You've all seen that over the last several years. Georgia Tech has tried to incorporate a few more passes in the game than in years past. And it also kind of is dictated by their opponent. I think against Clemson, you will probably see Georgia Tech throw a little bit more if they have to because of that ferocious front four. The dive play is the key to stopping this team, keeping them behind the chains. If you get them in 2nd and 7, 2nd and 8, and stay ahead of schedule, as they call it, and then get them in 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, you've got them where you want them because this is not a team that can drop back and pass a ton. We'll get back into that in a minute. Other notable stats from that game, Tobias Oliver, who's the backup quarterback because the other guy, what's his damn name, is Josh something. He went down. I think he's out for the year. He's one of their other quarterbacks. But Tobias Oliver had 18 rushes for 97 yards and 3 touchdowns against South Florida. So they went with a two-headed monster at quarterback. And really, you know, Taquan Marshall's the better passer. He's also a really good runner. But these guys get banged up because they have to run the ball so much. So it's almost a must that you have another guy back there and you rotate him in. They're basically – they take as much punishment, if not more, than running backs because they're smaller. I mean, these guys are like sometimes a 195, 205. Some of them are a little bit bigger than that. But and Jordan Mason, who's one of their backs, he had 13 rushes for 95 yards against South Florida. I didn't bother to write down the South Florida stats because they don't play Clemson. So who gives a damn? I mean, we gave you the team stats there, and that's about all I feel like you need to know. But, wow, just 419 rushing yards and you lose a ball game by 11. That's just not – very often that you see
I'll
that.
Predict they have 92 rushing yards.
I think they'll break 100 just for the sheer fact they're going to do it 60 times. I mean, that's
– and only get 92 yards.
Okay. Well, that's a bold prediction. Do they pass
that's what
at
I'm
all?
Here, that's I, what I'm here for.
Yeah, I feel like – okay, smartass. I feel like I may know where your prediction may be going then later in this episode, so – just to run it down really quick, I mean, Georgia Tech's 1-2, and like I said, they should probably be 2-1. I'm not going to give them the win against Pitt. Again, I didn't watch any of this game, so I can't tell you what happened. I saw what happened against South Florida. They shot themselves in the foot way too many times. Too many mistakes, penalties, turnovers, not getting it done on third down when they needed to convert, and I think that a defense like Pitt took advantage of it, just like South Florida did. So, Pitt beats them last week. What, 24-17, I think, was the final there. Run down the stats here. First downs, Georgia Tech had more than Pitt, 22-16. Third down conversions, again, not a good day, 4 of 13. Pitt was 5 of 12. Pitt did not even attempt a fourth down conversion, just punting and playing straight-up football. Tech was 1 of 3, and Tech does go for it at least a couple or a few fourth downs a game because they have 4th and 1s, 4th and 2s, and they feel like they can fake that dive and go outside with it, or sometimes the dive might work. I just feel like Clemson's D-line, and we'll get into this more later, they're just too much for this Tech team. They have been for the last few years. Total yards in that game, Georgia Tech 386, a big step back from 600 the week before. Pitt only had 335. Now, here's where it's interesting. Georgia Tech attempted – Taquan Marshall went 6 of 15 for 66 yards and a pick passing. And Pitt's QB, I didn't even write his damn name down, 16 of 23, 197, and 1 interception. Rushing, Georgia Tech had 56 carries for 320 yards. Pitt had 31 for 138. So Georgia Tech did a great job pretty much stop and run. I mean, that's right around, you know, it's a little over 4 yards a carry. That's manageable. That's not great.
but not horrible. When a team has decided that they're going to run over half their plays and only get 138 yards doing so, you outgained them not quite 3-1, but 2.5-1. I mean, it was incredible. Penalties again by Georgia Tech. Not really as big this time, though. 5 for 35 yards. Pitt had 4 for 38 yards. Georgia Tech had 2 turnovers. Pitt only had 1. Georgia Tech had only 3 minutes more time of possession this game. So Pitt really must have stayed ahead of schedule. I'm just guessing here. Again, I didn't watch anything. This past weekend was pretty hectic. I didn't start watching football until I watched the Commodores hopefully beat the Irish, even though I hate Vandy. But at the same time, you pull for an upset sometimes. You just, you know, a team like Vandy or Duke or somebody, they're playing a big school. You want to see them win.
And nobody likes Notre Dame.
Some people do. I know people that do. Taquan Marshall.
Losers.
He had 28 rushes against Pitt for 103 yards and 2 touchdowns. It was 3-something a carry. Jordan Mason added 10 rushes for 94 yards. And Jerry Howard, another pretty good back, 8 rushes, 82 yards, whopping 10 yards a carry. So 9.4 from Mason. So they had to have been getting outside. The pitch play must have been working, and just the turnovers at the wrong time must have just killed them. I'm assuming they could have missed field goals here or there too, because I didn't see those stats. That's all possible. Whatever. We'll move right along into predicting this game. So the Tigers are favored from what I'm seeing, 16.5. Some people just have it at even 17. That seems about where I would think this would be. It's not like Georgia Tech's going out there and just got throttled by anybody yet. South Florida looks like a pretty solid football team. And then, you know, who knows? Right now, Clemson's 0-3 against the spread. Georgia Tech is 0-3 against the spread. But if we're picking a winner here, you're picking the Tigers and I'm picking the Tigers all day, right? No?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Don't shake your head at me, and then, especially with what you said a while ago.
What did I say?
You just the comments that you made. It just made me. You said they were going to have 92 rushing yards on 60 carries.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to win if they only run the ball for 92 yards. They better throw it for 500. I mean, they're not going to be Clemson doing that. Odd Charts Computers predicted score: Clemson 39.67 and Georgia Tech 18.4. So a 21 point margin. And I don't think that I can honestly disagree with that. I think the 16.5, if this line stays under 17, the Tigers may be one of my betting picks this week. I do bet them from time to time, especially when I think they can throttle somebody. I think strength versus strength here. It is in Atlanta, but that's not a long road trip for the Tigers. It's not, and that's not a rowdy-ass stadium. They don't really have a big home field advantage. They are wearing – some new Adidas uniforms, kind of an homage to the 90 national championship team. They're wearing the blue jerseys. So a cooler look, I think, for Georgia Tech there. A nod back to my childhood and to their glory years. I don't think that's going to help them a bit. I could see this line honestly moving up. I don't see it going down. I think it goes over 17. So I think if you take it, if you got a way to bet online and you are so inclined to do such a thing as lay a bet on a football game, go ahead and try to get this while it's under 17 or before it goes over 17, because I think that's a smart bet. I honestly do. I could see this game being – I like to throw weird numbers out there because Clemson does bog down sometimes and have to kick field goals, but generally they hit them. I like to throw weird numbers out there like 37-44, stuff. Those aren't that odd. But I could definitely – see the Tigers having a hiccup here or there, and if they did, this is still to me like a, man, honestly, like a 34-7, 37-13 type ball game. I could easily see that.
They throttle Georgia Tech.
So it could be worse than that, you think?
I think they come back and avenge their shitty play last weekend, if you listen to what some fans said.
Well,
even though they won, and it was just
they
happened.
Won. You're playing they won a, big. They won by 31.
You're playing a
look, dude. You're favored by 32. So that's where Vegas has set. Well, Vegas had set it at 34. Oh, so what? You didn't cover that. You won by 31. I mean, what do you want to do?
I'm going to say.
You can't go out there and win every game by 50.
41-9
to 10. Okay, you're giving them an extra point.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that as well. Like I said, I could see a 34-7. I could see Clemson playing really sloppy and winning this game 27-3. I mean, I could see that. If Georgia Tech really bows really, up and plays some D.
How really?
But I'll tell you this. Now, hold on. What I'm about to say, you didn't let me finish. Clemson's offense is better than South Florida's offense. Way better. Their offense is way better than Pitt's offense. We haven't seen Clemson totally click except against Georgia Southern yards-wise, but they turned the ball over four times. I don't think they do that on Saturday. I just don't. So I could see it any – bottom line, I don't know if I want to throw a prediction out there. Clemson covers the spread. How about that? They're going to win by more than 17, and I think that's – I don't think the Tigers give a damn how it's done. You know, at the end of the day, if you win this game by one, you still won it. And if you win the game by one and you come out of it healthy, I don't think you can complain. Of course, that's going to make some fans mad because this is a 1-2 football team that you're playing, and you're 3-0, and you're looking – at another playoff berth, so you could say that you've been in the playoff every year because you have so far, and I think they're well on their way to doing that again. So no prediction for me other than they cover the spread. I think that's a no-brainer to me. There's no way I would take Georgia Tech in the points, not from how I've seen them play and what I've read about the Pitt game. There's just no way because I don't think this team is talented enough to beat the Tigers, period. So there's no way I would take them. When I take a dog, and I've said this on our Inside the Lines podcast, and, boy, I really had some bad picks this past week, so take my pick for what it's worth. But I think all the Clemson fans out there listening that you definitely would probably agree with me. You're going to cover the spread. So I know there's some naysayers out there and worry warts. That happens. You know, it's hard sometimes to bet on your team because then if you lose – you're double mad, as we were talking about yesterday. But that's pretty much all I got to say about that. I think they take care of business. I think it could be close early. I think it could be interesting for a little while. But I think the Tigers are going to win. I'm not going to pick Clemson to lose to anybody until I see a rash of injuries, which I don't think is going to happen. And, you know, they like to talk about we too deep. They've got depth on that defensive side of the ball, at least up front. And the offensive line woes, I think, can – be made better when you're taking on a team like Georgia Tech, who you've seen in the past two games, you can run the ball effectively against. ETN is a better running back. Feaster is a better running back. Hell, Choice is a better running back than Pitt or South Florida have had, period. I mean, Clemson could go 3-4 deep at the running back position and be better than probably what those teams have. I would think that. So with the 1-2 punch of ETN and Feaster, the freshman Davis getting out there making some plays as well. I just think they're just too talented for Georgia Tech. So now I'm just getting into where I don't have anything else to talk about. Trying to keep this podcast a little short because it's been a crazy week. Start a new job, whatnot, and we don't have too much more to say. So Taylor says 41-10 Tigers. I'm going to say they cover the spread once again. And that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of Talking Tigers. And next week, we will give you the recap of this and preview the week after's game. And you know what? We might throw something different in there. Might keep the format the same. I don't know. I'm open to suggestions at this point. And a little revenge game next week after this. So don't look ahead, Tigers. You got the Q's coming into Death Valley, and that ought to be
big orange.
That might be an ass-cutting as well. So I don't think there's anybody on the Tigers' schedule left that can beat them. I said it early in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I don't. Oh, get out. Who?
Boston College.
I'm just whatever. Cut your mic off. All right. For Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs, this has been Talking Tigers, a Win or Die Sports production. Thanks for listening, guys. Give us some feedback if you want to. And check us out again next Monday.